Welcome to American Dissident Voices. I'm Kevin Alfred Strom. Sonny Thomas of Resolution Radio and I shared thoughts and ideas on his up-and-coming alternative media network on his program 2 weeks ago. So let's rejoin that interview now. When we left off last time, we were discussing the potential for our race to free itself from the bonds of Earth and seed the stars with life. Listen.
I think once we get together as a species on this planet, then we can kind of go out and explore the cosmos and see what else is out there. But again, if we can't get our stuff settled here, we need to stay here until we do.
I don't know if I agree with you, Sonny. I mean, I don't think the racial problem is ever going to be solved. If you by that you mean we're all going to get together and live in harmony, I think that the races need to be separate. We can't survive in a multiracial society. The birth rate of the others is apparently always going to be higher than ours. We have an extraordinarily low birth rate compared to the other races, and therefore we can't have them in our territory, or we'll be wiped out, and our kind will end up being a powerless minority, and then we'll just be wiped out. We need white living space, and I'm telling you, I don't think we're ready for it yet. But if somebody who is Elon Musk squared comes up with a way to successfully colonize another world, particularly another planet on another star system, with 1,000 or 10,000 of the best and brightest minds of the white race, and has the wisdom to not bring along any Jews or blacks or other races, then I would say we need to go for that, because that may be our one chance to survive if the Earth does not survive. And actually, the Earth's not going to survive. It's inevitable. The Earth is going to become unlivable for human life and eventually all life. And so we eventually have to do that. In fact, not only do we have to do it, but we have to do it before the fossil fuels run out. And right now, what are we using the fossil fuels for? We're making 40 trillion pieces of plastic junk to be sold in Walmart from China. We're using our fossil fuels so we can drive back and forth on the same highways 40,000 times a year and have SUVs to go to the grocery store. We're using our fossil fuels to power 4-megawatt transmitters so people can watch garbage TV shows and lies. We're squandering that. So I'm not saying the National Alliance advocates a trip to the stars now because we're not ready, but the National Alliance does advocate racial separation because racial separation is a prerequisite for survival and a preservation of the unique genome that makes us what we are, that makes us special. So, we have to have racial separation. And ultimately, I think we have to have better brains than we have now, brains that can figure out how to meet the huge challenges we're inevitably going to meet and to seed the stars with our kind of life.
I agree. One of the things I was just having a discussion with a friend of mine the other day was that, especially the issue of quote-unquote democracy and how much you try to bring democracy to other countries, it always amazes me how the fact that, for example, if a country decides to try a different form of government, say Italy decided to do fascism under Benito Mussolini, or in Germany, obviously they went from the Weimar Republic. Before that, they went from the monarchy to the Weimar Republic, which is obviously a sham, and then became National Socialist Germany. And, of course, Russia had also become fully communist. Why is it that also we just decided that we're going to allow a communist country to do whatever it wanted to do to its people, no questions asked, but yet Italy decided they wanted to do a new form of government, which is fascism. Germany wanted to do a new form of government, which is national socialism. And all of a sudden, we just decided those two forms of government were not acceptable. And not only did we take out said government and wipe out everyone in those political parties that could have possibly re-risen again, but yet we still allow communism to flourish. And then later on said, oh, well, we realize communism is bad now. Now we have an enemy, start the Cold War. I mean, how is it we can go into a sovereign nation and say, you can't have this form of government, that we're not going to agree with this government, and we're not going to allow you to have it. We don't agree with your financial situations. This and that. Who the hell are we to go into a sovereign nation and say, we don't like the government you have. We're going to do regime change, as we call it nowadays, and get away with it. I mean, that by definition is a war crime.
I think so. I think the whole concept that you detailed is preposterous, and it's also a sham. It's not sincere. I think that the reality is, by the 1930s and continuing right up until right now under Donald Trump, the American people lost control of their own government, and our government is basically run by Jews. And so we oppose or support other governments very much to a large extent based upon what the Jews want us to do. For example, when the Soviet Union under communism was largely run by Jews, then the Roosevelt administration tended to favor it to a very large degree. But when the Soviet government decided to clamp down on the Jews, and Jews became a sort of a waning influence on the Soviet Union, then all of a sudden the Soviet Union became a great enemy, and we had to oppose it. Now, it didn't happen overnight, and people don't get convinced of things overnight, so it was a gradual turn. But it, over the course of a decade, it was pretty profound. And the same reason we opposed National Socialist Germany. It had nothing to do with the amount of freedom people had in National Socialist Germany, which was probably very comparable to what they enjoyed in the United States. That's just an excuse. It's just like in the Middle East in the last few decades. Our government didn't oppose Saddam Hussein because he oppressed his people. Probably people in the largely secular Republic of Iraq were freer than most of the people in the Middle East. They were under a secular government and not a fundamentalist Islamic government. But that had nothing to do with it. And of course, the so-called weapons of mass destruction was another sham. They never existed. The real reason was that Israel wants to be dominant in the Middle East, and it did not like a strong, secular, powerful, well-organized Iraq very close by. They wanted a divided, fundamentalist, nutcase government with all the different fundamentalist factions at each other's throats, and chaos and weakness. And that's what war brought to Iraq. And they want the same thing in Syria. They don't, it has nothing to do with, Assad is a dictator and we must bring down the dictator. That's complete nonsense. It's all about destroying the power of Syria and making Syria into a weak, chaotic country ruled by fundamentalist nutcases of one kind or another. And that's what Israel wants. And that's why America went to war in World War II. And that's why we're still going to war today. It's all because that's what the Jews want. And the Jews have effectively stolen our government from us. In fact, I think that's why a lot of Americans, particularly white Americans, basically hate government. It's because most of them have lived their whole lives under a government that hates them. It's not even their own government. It's a tyrannical government run by billionaire aliens, billionaire Jews, and it does not work for our own interests. And so people in this country don't know what it's like to live under a government that actually looks out for its people's best interest. If we had that kind of a government, I suspect you'd see a lot of anti-government conservative types all of a sudden saying, hey, you know, this government isn't so bad. But they've never lived under a good government, so they just don't know what it's like.
And I think the more people start to realize that, and they get that aha moment, and then they realize that, why have I always been told that we shouldn't even talk about this particular group or this particular issue, is because they don't want you to know about it. Most people think that the ADL was created after the Holocaust. Oh, no. It was created before, after the Federal Reserve Act was passed in 1913, not 1945. I mean, it was pretty obvious that they did that because they wanted to cover the fact that most of the banksters, who happened to be Jewish, were behind the Federal Reserve Act. And, of course, not only did they get their stooge, Woodrow Wilson, to sign that, but he also got him to break his promise that we were not going to get involved in the Great War, and did anyway. They purposely set Lusitania to be a triggering mechanism and got us involved in a war that we never should have been in the first place. No
Yes.
more brothers wars. That's what we really need to start pushing out. No more brother wars.
Yes, it seems like again and again and again the American people fall for the same tricks. There's some sort of staged event, whether it be the Lusitania or Pearl Harbor, which there was an article that I wrote that was put up again on nationalvanguard.org, which is one of the sites that I run that is serving as the news magazine of the National Alliance, and I exposed the truth about Pearl Harbor there, all the way up to the Gulf of Tonkin incident and the ridiculous, preposterous excuses for the endless so-called war on terror that we're waging for Israel in the Middle East right now. So yeah, the American people have fallen for that garbage time and time and time again. And the National Alliance, of which I'm the media director, is trying to build what Dr. Pierce called not a numerical majority, but a majority of will and determination to do what we need to do to survive. Because if we don't, and it's all on us, if we don't, we're going to die.
Yeah. And it's going to be just like the original Planet of the Apes, where we're Taylor thrown in a cage with Nova, and Nova can barely even talk, much less fend for herself. So, I mean, that's exactly what they want to turn us into. I mean, it's their reality, not the reality I want to choose, but that's definitely the reality they want to put us in.
Well, that reality can already be seen in Baltimore, Maryland. I mean, just drive through Baltimore, Maryland, or drive through Detroit,
yeah.
Michigan. You can see that reality. It's already, it looks like there was a war and the subhumans won and the humans lost.
I think I saw a report today that said that Fort Myers and St. Louis are the most crime-ridden cities in the United States. Now, Chicago may be the murder capital of the United States, but Lauderdale and St. Louis are now the two highest crime-ridden states, and of course, or cities. And obviously, we know what particular ethnic group is probably doing all that.
Yes. Well, although I stated earlier that I hope that Louis Farrakhan becomes the head boss in charge of the black community, because he's the best hope they have, and he also is a separatist. Nevertheless, you know, it has to be acknowledged that the black race is at a far lower level of biological development on average than our race. And wherever they go, they prove this. I mean, people have been trying to save the blacks of Africa with huge amounts of money, shipping in food, shipping in missionaries, shipping in huge quantities of infrastructure, building infrastructure and giving it to them. And no matter what is done, the people of Africa eventually return to savagery and even cannibalism, primitivism in every possible way. And wherever that genome goes, whether it's Africa or whether it's Florida or Chicago, it doesn't matter. They bring the same sort of behaviors and social problems. And so clearly that is the most massive and obvious proof of racial inequality you could ever want. And if you look at the genomes of blacks compared to other races, you will find that there is strong evidence that they have followed a different evolutionary path than any other race. And the proof of that is there is far more genetic diversity, far more variability in blacks' gene patterns than there is in any other race, by far. And what that means is, the most likely explanation is that the other races at some point diverged off of the path, the evolutionary path. They branched off away from blacks, And they went through some sort of, the other races went through some sort of selective event. That includes us. We went through an event that must have greatly decreased our numbers, probably almost wiped us out. That's why we have less genetic diversity. And that selective event, whatever it was, also selected us for higher intelligence, a different kind of intelligence, a different kind of character and behavior than the blacks have. And that's why they're so different from us. They didn't go through that selective event. And that selective event made us have greater frontal cortex development. And the blacks didn't get that.
Well, going and switching gears a little bit, I posted a lot of stories from National Vanguard over the past 2 or 3 years and mixed it in my social media, even sharing it into fairly large size at the Pullover groups on Facebook, mm-hmm. and most people getting them information that probably wouldn't have come across before. But have you seen, this is a two-part question, have you seen more of an uptick on the website as far as viewership, and B, do you think more people are definitely more willing to find alternate forms of news media, such as National Vanguard?
Well, I, of course, don't know what people are thinking in their, you know, private thoughts. I have no way of knowing that. But my observation is that the audience for our websites, which includes natall.com, that's NATALL.com, that's our main National Alliance website, and then our online news magazine, nationalvanguard.org, that's nationalvanguard, all one word, .org, it has been a slow but steady growth over the last approximately 4 years. And it didn't really seem to like coincide directly with the Trump campaign, and it didn't really seem to coincide directly with all the publicity the newer alt-right groups have experienced. But it definitely, I think, has those events have helped. And that's just speculation on my part, but I do see our audience is growing. For example, right now, nationalvanguard.org has reached the same size of audience that my local newspaper has here in Johnstown, Pennsylvania. We have just as big an audience as a mainstream regional Pennsylvania newspaper, the Johnstown Tribune Democrat. We've already passed several large Jewish groups in terms of audience size. The Wiesenthal Center only has about a quarter of the audience of nationalvanguard.org. I think we have something like 6 to 8 times the audience of the American Jewish Congress website. That's pretty impressive. At one point, they were way above us, and now we're in multiples of their readership. We have approximately one quarter of the audience of the Republican Party's main website. We have almost half the audience of Hillary Clinton's party, the Democrats.org, the Democratic Party website. That is really unprecedented for us. Now, I'm not saying we have the highest ratings of any racialist organization. We don't. There are some alt-right websites that are doing even better than we are, and more power to them. I think we need, you know, gateways to the hard truths of the National Alliance, so I don't begrudge them their success. But on the other hand, the other alt-right websites, they tend to water down their white racialism. They tend to sort of try to appeal to the maximum number of people possible. But we are absolutely uncompromising, hardcore. We need white living space, and we must defeat the Jewish power structure to get it, kind of ideology. And for us to be having those kind of numbers is extraordinary. Now, what did Trump have to do with it? I don't think Trump had anything to do with it personally, but it just so happens that he decided, in my opinion, he was being deceptive, but he decided to appeal to the nationalist instinct in many white Americans. Mm-hmm. And when he did that, I think it was almost like giving permission for white Americans who have been keeping their heads down and keeping their mouths shut for years to finally say some of the things that were on their mind. Suddenly, the Overton window has shifted because of the Trump campaign. And because of that, I think people are bolder now. They're not keeping their heads down anymore. And they're becoming more radicalized. I think that a second wave of this is after people stop keeping their heads down and keeping their mouths shut, is that the younger people see this happening and they're getting radicalized. And with the more and more speech being free on these, being on these subjects of race, the young people and middle-aged people like me too are getting radicalized who never thought about these issues before. It's sort of like a snowball picking up speed and picking up mass as it rolls down the mountain. And I am very energized and encouraged by that. And I'm very, very pleased with the numbers we're seeing as people reading National Vanguard. It's very pleasing to me.
Yeah, like I said, I've seen a rise of a lot of different alt-right and alt-right websites.
Well, if you look at the Simon Wiesenthal Center, Sonny, the Simon Wiesenthal Center is one of the leading Jewish hate groups. And they have a $27 million annual budget. And most of what they do is hate white people and hate racially conscious white people especially. And with that $27 million, I assume they have quite a staff.
Oh, yeah.
And yet, our audience, our little website, National Vanguard, with maybe five people working on it, all of them volunteers, a budget very close to $0 per year, not $27 million, we have four times the audience they do. Just imagine what we could do if we had a little funding and a real staff.
I agree.
You've been listening to Sonny Thomas interview yours truly, Kevin Alfred Strom. This interview has been edited for broadcast. You can listen to the entire program on the Resolution Radio Network. We'll return with more of this interview next week, right here on American Dissident Voices. You've been listening to American Dissident Voices, the radio program of the National Alliance. You can listen to our 24/7 radio network at natall.com/radio. That's natall.com/radio. And read our online magazine, National Vanguard, at nationalvanguard.com. allone word.org. To help us, send donations to National Alliance, Box 172, Laurel Bloomery, Tennessee, 37680, USA. That's Box 172, Laurel Bloomery, Tennessee, 37680, USA. You can also donate by accessing natall.com/donate. That's natall.com/donate. Until next week, this is Kevin Alfred Strom reminding you to never give up.
For blood and for soil, we will work, we will toil. Heaven is born on the earth. The heroes arise as we shout to the skies. We will now have our rebirth. For blood and for soil, we will work, we will toil. Heaven is born on the earth. The heroes arise as we shout to the skies. We will now have. Yeah.